WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here in the program, the final week of spring. And I hope that it's starting off well for you. It's bright and sunny and 57 degrees, so not a bad way to start the day. So we've got a lot that we'll discuss today. Of course, we will have a new edition of the Gen X Files for you coming up after the 7:30 news. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo for his regular weekly appearance. He's going to update us on all of the budget discussion, plus everything else going on with the city council and around the city. And we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also have a new contest for you this week. You can go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app and enter to win a pair of tickets to see Cyndi Lauper at Xfinity in Mansfield. It is the final leg of her Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour. So this is, I guess, Cyndi Lauper's last ever performance here in Massachusetts. So if you are a Cyndi fan and you've never gotten the chance to see her, or you want to see her one last time, well, tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com. But we have your chance to win tickets all this week. So just go to WBSM.com or the app. You'll see the page there to enter to win tickets to see Cyndi Lauper. Just put in your information and you could be going to the show. And that show is July 17th. So just be aware that it is the same night as 50s night. I know my friend and I are going to the Cyndi Lauper concert. And when I agreed to go, I didn't realize that it was also going to be on 50s night. But, you know, a bunch of friends, I guess, are going to go from high school. So we've got to do that, but that's all right. We'll still have all the 50s night music for you here anyway. So that contest is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, 115 Huddleston Avenue, and the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where we had a fun time on Friday. So there was a lot that went on over the weekend that we can discuss. Of course, there was the horrific incident in Minneapolis. They have caught the suspect in that case. So, you know, more information is starting to come out, but he is alive, so they're going to get answers. Unlike some of these other incidents where either the suspect takes their own life or is taken up by law enforcement. In this particular case, he's alive and he's going to have to answer for his crimes. But it appears from what news I was reading this morning that he was virulent, passionately against abortion, and that may have played a role in his distorted thinking. But as I said, we'll get more answers because he is going to have to stand trial here for what he has done. We also had on Saturday the No Kings protests, which, as I thought, would go off pretty much without any incident. And as I mentioned, you know, especially here locally, I didn't have any concerns of any problems because, again, there's already been a couple of these protests that have happened here, and I've saw the crowd that was part of it just through circumstance, I happened to be near those protests each time that they happened. And they were just, you know, a big party, really, in terms of everybody being in a good mood. And even if people were driving by and, you know, throwing up middle fingers or whatever, people just like, yeah. Like, it didn't really turn into anything ugly, at least what I had seen. And that was pretty much what the reporting was, too. New Bedford Light has a report on the two local ones that happened in New Bedford and Fairhaven. But it seems like, you know, everybody had a chance to have their say. And I was in Plymouth Saturday, and I got there probably an hour or so after the Plymouth protest had broken up. And I was in the area right where they were. And, like, you wouldn't have even known that it had happened. There was no sign of it. Nobody was kind of hanging around with signs still. Nobody left any trash behind. You wouldn't even have known that it happened. So it seems like that went off well. Looks like the military parade happened without any trouble. You know, I know there were some concerns about the structural integrity of the street with tanks going down it, but it seems like it held up. Now, you know, whatever damage it is, the Army has said it would pay for, but I didn't see any reports of anything major happening. I saw not a huge crowd, but again, that's, you know, the weather plays a part in that. It's always tough when you make a plan for something outdoors and then it rains. I remember when I was a kid, the day we looked forward to every year was the 3rd of July parade in Randolph. They did theirs on the 3rd. And no matter what day of the week the 3rd was, they held it on the 3rd. And it started, I think, like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night. And I went down North Main Street, which is right in front of my grandparents' house. So everybody just went to my grandparents' house and sat in the front yard and watched it. And we would have, you know, a cookout, or we'd get some Linwood pizza or something. And then after that parade was over at about 7 o'clock, everybody in town would pile into their cars and drive over to the Brockton Fair. Because then the Brockton Fair would have fireworks. And whether you went to the fair and rode the rides or just went and saw the fireworks and went home, you know, that's just where everybody went afterwards. And it was always, you know, if you woke up and it was a rainy day, you're like, oh, it's going to ruin the parade. But it seems like, you know, they still got it done anyway, even with the weather being as questionable as it was. And then I saw a lot of people commenting, and they said, well, if this is going to be for the 250th anniversary of the Army, well, are they going to do the same thing for the other branches of the military? And maybe. But the 250th anniversary of the Army is also kind of what kicked off those other branches of the military. You know, they kind of all evolved out of that. I think the Air Force didn't officially become the Air Force until, like, what, the 1940s? So, and before that, it was part of the Army. So you're going to be waiting a long time for a 250th anniversary of that. But anyway, I can get your thoughts on the weekend, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I also had a story. After we went off the air on Friday, I wrote this up because I saw it while we were doing the show, but I didn't want to talk about it yet because I wanted to get a little bit more information about what had happened. But you can read about it on the website and on the app. There was a Wareham family that went out to celebrate the mom's dinner. The mom, the grandma, you know, depending on which person we're talking about in relation to them, but it was, you know, the matriarch of the family. It was her birthday, and they went to Mamma Mia's in Carver. And Mamma Mia's in Carver is kind of it's a popular restaurant and a busy restaurant. And people are kind of close together in that restaurant. They definitely maximize the space they have for seating. And so here they are, a party of, I forget how many, 12, I think. And they're having this get together and they're being loud and they're being boisterous and they're, you know, trying to behave, but you've got little kids there and plus they're kind of loud people anyway. And so you've got all this, you know, noise generating from their table. And there was an elderly couple at the table next to them that they thought that they were annoying. And then when it came time to sing happy birthday to the mom, the wife of the elderly couple kind of leaned over and told them, well, it's my husband's birthday too. And so everybody wished him a happy birthday. And as they were leaving, one of the family members, because they felt bad that they had disturbed this elderly couple's dinner, and because it was also the man's birthday, the man's name apparently was Tony, but because it was his birthday, someone in the big family paid for their dinner. And then all of a sudden, Tony began crying. And it turns out it's because he had recently been diagnosed with cancer and he doesn't have long to live. In fact, when the mom found out that it was his birthday too, she said, oh, well, let's meet again here next year for our birthday. He goes, nah, I don't think I'm going to make it. And sometimes when, you know, older folks say that, you just laugh and you're like, ah, yeah, you'll be here, you know, because like sometimes just older folks say that kind of thing. Yeah, if I'm around, maybe. But in this particular case, he'd been diagnosed with cancer and he might not make it. And so this family kind of like really took this to heart. And now they're trying to track Tony down because they wanted to send him some birthday gifts, but also the restaurant saw our story. Mamma Mia saw our story and said, you know, Tony, if you are here on your birthday next year, you're coming here and it's on us. So the community has really kind of rallied around this story and hopefully we can help connect them and they can find Tony. I shared it in Carver Facebook groups, Plymouth Facebook groups. I was like, somebody must know this couple. And maybe they don't want to, you know, maybe they don't want any attention. Maybe they don't want to connect with them at all. That's fine too. Totally understandable, especially given the circumstances. But, you know, we'd like to hook them up if at all possible. So if you read the story and you happen to know who that might be, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. I can connect you with the family and we can see if we can't, you know, make something happen for them. And even if you don't want to involve me in it, everybody's been tagging members of the family in that story. So you can certainly reach out to one of them as well. All right, why don't we take our first break of the morning? When we come back, we can get the news from Mike Roberts and then talk more with you at 508-996-0500. Again, app chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. And don't forget, if you haven't already downloaded the app, you definitely should, whether it be on your phone, your tablet, iPad, on your dashboard of your car, if you have one of those smart dashes, whatever it may be, download us from your app store or just go to WBSM.com and click on the listen tab and we'll send it right to your device. It is a connection to everything WBSM, all of our stories, live streaming audio, our podcasts, contests, and all kinds of cool stuff that sometimes we have things that are just for the app. Sometimes we have contests or deals that are just for the app. And it's all brought to you by South Coast Towing. All right, let's take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment with Mike Roberts. On the other side of that, we can talk with you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails for you on the WBSM app. And, of course, we'll also have the Gen X Files coming up for you in the 7:30 hour. And on Thursday, we will have another Brain Freeze question of the week for you, a chance to win a porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream, the sponsors of the Gen X Files here on the program. So that'll be coming up in about an hour. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
More measles cases in the U.S. CDC workers back on the job and a new report about the Dirty Dozen.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Senator Elizabeth Warren calling for DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's resignation after a fellow senator was forcibly removed from one of her press conferences in Los Angeles last week. Video showed California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla being handcuffed and taken to the ground during Noem's press conference. Warren said it's time for Kristi Noem to resign. Warren also posted on Facebook that, quote, "Every day that goes by, Donald Trump is making our nation look more and more like a fascist state." The annual Dirty Dozen list from the Environmental Working Group's 2025 Shopper's Guide to Pesticides in Produce says 96% of samples of 12 non-organic fruits and vegetables had detectable levels of more than 200 different pesticides. The EWG 2025 Dirty Dozen list includes spinach, strawberries, kale, collards, mustard greens, grapes, peaches, cherries, nectarines, pears, apples, blackberries, blueberries, and potatoes. The health advocacy organization has compiled the report for nearly two decades by analyzing government food safety data. Police in Buffalo, New York, have a Brooklyn man in custody charged in the death of his girlfriend.
Authorities say 32-year-old John Rousseau walked into a Buffalo police station last week telling cops his girlfriend was dead at a house on New York Avenue in Midwood. The Daily News reports NYPD officers went to the home where they found 26-year-old Dana Jean dead with an apparent wound to the neck. The ME ruled the death a homicide but is still investigating the cause of death. Rousseau is charged with murder and weapons possession. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Health officials have issued warnings in the D.C. area about a traveler infected with measles who landed at Dulles International Airport and traveled throughout the area in the last week. The D.C. Health Department has listed on its website various locations the person visited. The international traveler landed at Dulles on June 8th. Virginia health officials say they are working to identify people who may be exposed that had contact with him on different flights. Health officials said that there have been multiple measles cases in the D.C. area within the last few weeks. How dirty are beards?
Research has shown that beards often do indeed host dense microbial populations bolstered by a moist place for them to thrive. It's been an issue in the healthcare field where there have been mixed results over how hygienic beards really are. Some early studies raise concerns that facial hair may be home to more harmful bacteria, but others have shown no difference between bearded and clean-shaven workers. If beards are cleaned regularly and well-maintained, it greatly reduces the chance for harmful bacteria to grow. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Over 460 employees at the CDC are getting their jobs back after being laid off. Lisa Carton has details.
The Department of Health and Human Services said reinstatement notices were sent out this week. HHS did not give details about the rehiring decisions. Officials have confirmed that around 200 of the reinstated workers were from the CDC's National Center for HIV, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and Tuberculosis Prevention. Another 150 workers were from the CDC's National Center for Environmental Health. I'm Lisa Carton.
WBSM Sports.
After the Red Sox beat the Yankees 2-0 yesterday, designated hitter Rafael Devers has been traded to the San Francisco Giants. Devers spent his entire 9-year career with the Sox and was the last player from Boston's 2018 World Series championship team.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Your forecast for this morning includes a blend of sun and clouds, winds light out of the southeast, and a high near 72. For tonight, we're expecting mostly cloudy skies, your low near 56. And for Tuesday, mix of sun and clouds with a slight chance of a shower, your high near 74. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Favor, don't let the fear take the wheel and steer if you are interested in driving for Trembley Bus Company. No, you need to be firmly in control, and you will be, because they're going to make sure that they train you up right if you are looking to get some extra work, or if you need a job that works around your kids' school schedule, or if you're retired and you just want to make a little extra money. All of those are great circumstances, and so many others are great circumstances to work for Trembley Bus Company, whether it be as a bus driver, a bus monitor, a van driver. There's all kinds of positions that you could take with the company to help kids get to school and to put that money in your pocket. And again, if you're not trained in how to drive a bus, if you don't have a CDL, they're going to make sure that they train you up and they're going to get you ready to pass that exam and get you on the road helping kids get to school. So how do you start the process? Just go to tbcbus.com, TBC for Trembley Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and get that rolling now, and you could be driving by the time the school year starts. So tbcbus.com. If you're not familiar, there were some stories about it kind of earlier in the year, and I don't know that we've had too much coverage of it since. But the invasion of the cicadas has begun. Cicadas. I keep saying cicada. I've always said cicadas, but it's cicadas. But anyway, I just think of John Cicada. The invasion of the cicadas began a couple weeks ago. I have not had a chance to go down to the Cape to see my old friends, the 17-year cicadas, because the first year, so I shouldn't say the first year. So when I moved to Sandwich, I moved in the summer of 1989 after living in Plymouth for 4 or 5 years before that. It would have been 4 years. 4 years before that, I moved to Sandwich, and I lived in East Sandwich. And I lived there for about a year. And then we moved to the other side of town, to Forestdale. Just a little bit more of a fit for our family. So we moved across town. And it just so happens that when we moved in there, it was one of the 17-year cicada cycle summers. And oh my God, it was intense. I read about it in the newspaper, because back in those days, we used to get the Cape Cod Times delivered. And I would read it every afternoon, cover to cover. Even if I didn't understand, you know, all that was going on, I read it cover to cover. And, well, because part of it was we had current events as part of our class schedule, so I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. But the stories had me thinking, like, okay, this is going to be bad. But I wasn't still prepared for what it was going to be. Where during the height of it, from sunup to sundown, it's just a constant buzz that, like, you'd be sitting in the living room watching TV. Now, keep in mind, this is the days before surround sound. And we didn't really have, like, you know, big booming speakers in our living room. We just had whatever the speaker was in the TV. And usually it was one speaker. We had kind of a fancy TV that had two speakers right in the front, you know, like going down the side of the television. And even with that, you could still hear that buzz happening all day long. It almost vibrated the windows of the house. And when you opened up the door to walk out, and I'm not exaggerating, the grass, the front lawn would be like a carpet of these things. So at first, you know, when they're in the larval stage and they're clinging to the trees, like, that's kind of fun because you walk over and you pick the shells off of the tree and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then they, like, crunch up in your hand and you didn't see them for a little bit. But then once they were out and flying around, it was a swarm. And so you would just see a blanket of them across the front lawn. You would just see them all over the trees. And they would be flying around constantly. My sisters, I have three sisters, and they were all, you know, all had long hair. And they'd just go from the front door to the car, and they'd get into the car and have to pick them out of their hair. And these are big, big bugs. Big insects. Some people think they're absolutely hideous looking. Some people think they're absolutely beautiful. I tend to think that they're really cool looking. But they are large. They're totally docile. They don't bite. They don't sting. They'll crawl all over you and not bother you at all. Well, I mean, except for the fact they're landing on you. That's kind of bothersome, but they're not out to hurt you at all. They're totally benevolent. But it still weirds people out. And then you just drive like a mile away and there isn't a single one around. They're just concentrated in this area. We lived off Snake Pond Road, which we were right near Otis Air Force Base. And that's like a heavy concentration area of them. There's a couple of pockets on the Cape where they're really heavily concentrated, and it's kind of right around that area. But like I said, I never felt they were dangerous. Well, now it turns out that they might have caused a crash in Ohio. So that's another area where they have this brood of cicadas. And again, like, they're not everywhere because it's only the specific places where they burrow into the ground and then come out again after 17 years. But according to WLWT5 in Ohio, Blue Ash, Ohio is where this happened. A cicada flew into the driver's window, startling the driver. He attempted to remove the insect and lost control of his vehicle and veered off the right side of the road and hit a pole. And police put out a statement with a photo of the crash saying, "We are all well aware that these pesky cicadas don't respect personal space, including while driving. It may be a good idea to keep the windows up for the next several weeks. As you can see, a cicada attack can be dangerous." Police said no one was injured in the crash and joked that the suspect fled the scene. So we've got about another week or so for this big infestation to continue on, and then it starts to die down at the end of June. I remember the last, again, I was there for the second to last invasion, but the last one, I went down and filmed something for Spooky South Coast. We talked about it on the show, and I was like, let's go film a video. And so myself and Matt Moniz went down there, and I had a video camera. This is before, I guess, cell phone cameras were a thing. And so I had a video camera, and we made a video and uploaded it to YouTube, which is still out there. It's not great quality, but maybe I'll head out and do a follow-up this week. I got the stitches are coming out of my knee today, hopefully. And then I'll be a little bit more mobile. I know last time I parked, you know, pretty much in the area where I used to live. And it took about 2 minutes of walking around looking on the trees before we found a whole bunch of them. So, and some people actually like to eat them. Some people dip them in chocolate and eat them. Not me. I've never intentionally eaten one, and I'm pretty sure I would know if I had eaten one, because even if you like swallow one in your sleep, you're going to wake up choking because these things are huge. You know, what do they say? The average person eats like, I don't know, like 80 spiders in their lifetime or something like that. Yeah, you're not going to accidentally eat one of these things. They're like 4 or 5 inches long. Maybe I'll catch a bunch of them, bring them here, and we'll start a brood on the South Coast, right? No, I won't do that. All right, well, if you've got any cicada stories you want to share, I'll hear them. 508-996-0500. But right now, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. I'm only pretty sure. So Participation Trophy Wife says, I want to hear some John Cicada now. Well, I think we'll do that coming up. But also, I had mentioned that you can eat cicadas. There's actually like recipes out there online. Now, you want to usually gather the cicadas when they're still in the nymph stage, cicadas, when they're in the nymph stage and before they get that hard, crunchy body armor. It's like the difference between soft shell crab and hard shell crab, I guess. But according to this particular chef, he uses them the same way people would use shrimp. He'll also put them on pizza. He'll fry them up in a tempura batter. And he says they have a buttery texture. A delicious nutty flavor, probably from the tannins, from the roots of the trees on which they feed, and they're going to go really good with a Merlot. So just keep that in mind. If you want to try some cicadas, I'm sure Stevie's has a nice Merlot they can suggest. But it's funny because the tannins are what, you know, what we talk about when I go to these whiskey education classes. It's like, that's what gives it the flavor. So it's like, well, maybe I should try a cicada. And I don't think that I actually will, but it's nice to know what they taste like without having to actually put one in my mouth. All right, at least on purpose. Going to take one more break here to wrap up the hour. We'll be right back. And if you live in an area where the cicada invasion is happening, if you open your windows, that's what you hear from sunup to sundown. It's just another day over and over again for about 12 or 14 hours straight. That's what you hear. It's not bad, but eventually you get sick of it. It's like when radio stations like change format or go off the air and or whatever, you know, they always will do this like stunt where they'll just play the same song over and over again for a couple of days. I remember there was one station on the Cape that for a whole week straight played Wild Thing by Tone Loc over and over again. And Matt Costa, God love him, my Spooky South Coast co-creator, he just drove around in his truck that entire week with nothing but that playing over and over again. I was so sick of that song by the end of the week that I still can't really listen to it today without having flashbacks to that week. And that was like 20 years ago. But that's just Matt. That's how he is. They could have thrown in Funky Cole Medina once in a while just to break things up a little bit, but, you know, hey, whatever. All right, well, we are going to be taking a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. The next hour, we're going to have today's Gen X Files, and we've got a pretty good one.